Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, my brother.
Brian is a seasoned veteran in our church. If you have been around for a while, you would know Brian. Brian's going to tell us all about himself. No, he's not. He's going to tell us all about Jesus because that's what he does well. So let's share our appreciation for Brian, who's going to share with us. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. It's wonderful to just worship God and sense His wonderful presence and a season that God is opening up in the future for this church, but for the church of God across this nation. And I believe that. It's wonderful to be here, and elders are away, so we have a little more freedom. But I know Russell will take care of things. Val made me promise that I would speak long because she said nobody's going to want to go out and enjoy this beautiful sunny day. Or something like that. Anyway, it is just really nice to have a chance to share the Word of God together this morning. And as I was in the morning, in the earlier prayer time, it was so cool how God puts things together in so many different ways. But the comment that Jeremy made that you've been wrestling with about religion versus the beauty of Christianity and who we what we have in Christ, and just coming like where most religions end is where we start is kind of the word. I don't want to mix it up, but it was like we're not starting in the gutter somewhere and working slowly, getting enough works till finally we find our way into righteousness. We come to Christ and we start with righteousness. That's our starting point. And now we have the privilege of a life to build on that foundation. And that's what Corinthians tells us. There's no other foundation than that one, and then build on that foundation. So that's our starting point. And what I want to share this morning is kind of, it'll move around a little bit, but get to the point of the oil of joy and the fullness of living our life on that foundation of righteousness, not trying to become righteous, but as righteous foundation, building this life full of fruitfulness and joy and blessing from God. And so I just think of, I'm going to jump around a little bit at first, and then we'll eventually get to where we're going. But Psalm 16, 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore." And a lot of things are on my mind this morning, but it makes me think of the tree that's planted by the water that brings forth its fruit and has this full life. And that's the tree that we want to take care of. And the biblical picture of a tree, I think, is important, and I'll just highlight it for a second. But if you want oranges, you don't try to make an orange. You plant an orange tree and you care for the tree, and the tree produces the fruit. So taking care of our lives and walking with God and enjoying that walk with the living God, and out of that flows or grows a healthy tree, and out of that comes healthy fruit. And I want to talk about the oil of joy or joy in serving God. Not drudgery, not just, you know, I have to do this, so I'll do it once in a while. There's mornings, I know, that might happen. But on the whole of our life, a fullness of joy, fullness of blessing and fruitfulness. And that's the theme I'm working on this morning. I know that we often think, you know, our joy comes from the fact that God will take care of me. I'm very thankful He does, and He will, and He always will, and that's a thankfulness. We think joy comes when God answers our prayer, and I'm very thankful that He answers prayer and that He heals us and blesses us in every kind of way. But the joy of the Lord is something different. It's kind of like a paradox, like so many things in the Bible are. Like Jesus said, lose your life and you'll find it, and those kinds of paradoxes, because it's such a special thing. The joy of the Lord is not just from the things that God does for us. In fact, that's probably not even joy. That's just thankfulness and appreciation that He takes good care of us. But when I'm doing what God has called me to do, there's joy and there's fruit. And I was just thinking of it again, and I'm just rambling a bit at the start, but I'll get somewhere. These three things go together: obedience, fruitfulness, and joy. They work together. I was looking at it and thinking, talking with Val even this morning about the years of life, and I could talk to you about Ethiopia and amazing stuff happening, and it's phenomenal, but I want to see, and I love to see phenomenal right here, right now. And God's wonderful grace at work in Edmonton and in this assembly and so on. But I was just looking back over our life and what God has called us to do, Val and I and our family together. And each stage or phase along the way, what He called us into, we did not have to fight anybody off. Nobody wanted it. It was like unattractive at the surface level. Nobody was, well, I won't go through the places because you never know who's listening nowadays, but nobody was fighting to get there. But God called us in, and what we marvel at is each time we went into those situations, whether it's the church here in Alberta where we started, or Zambia or Ethiopia or what we're doing now or whatever, it looked like unattractive outwardly. People would even ask us, why would you do that? And yet for us, even in those first steps into it that didn't look exciting, we were excited. We were filled with joy. Like, I don't want to go into it, but going into Marathorpe, anybody from Marathorpe listening, God bless you if you might hear this. But that church was a broken down, shabby old shack, and they were going to close it. And it was kind of like, we'll give it one last shot for life, and if it doesn't come to life, it's over. And it wasn't exactly where you want to go. And I remember one of the students that graduated with me in Bible school, I invited him out to be a big preacher at the morning, and he's looking around like, why did you come here? Why would you do this? Kind of like, and I'm like, what do you mean? This is exciting, man. I'm the pastor. This is the ministry. God's called me. What are you talking about? And we had a wonderful time, but everything that God called us into was kind of like that. And I just want to emphasize that this morning, that what God's calling you to do in your life, all of us, not just preaching ministry stuff, but all of our lives and all that God calls us to do, and the doors that He opens for us with your gifts and your talents and your opportunities, if you're obedient to God and you're following His will and purpose and walking in that, there's joy there. And that joy is what I want to emphasize this morning. Again, to lay some foundation, the Word of God. I want to talk about just the whole Word of God for a minute. And there's a reason. It lays a foundation, or it gives us a feeling for where we're going here. But there's only one way. I'll just say it. There's only one way to know Jesus, to really know Jesus. I know we come to Him and get saved, and that's when we meet Him. But to know Him, and to know Him deeply in the intricacies of who He is and what He is and the relationship that we have possible with Him, is through the Word of God. And the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, every part of it, presents to us Christ. And Jesus talking to those on the road to Emmaus, it says He opened to them everything that the Scriptures talk about Him, or all of the Scriptures relating to Himself. And their hearts burned within them as they saw and understood who Jesus is from the Scriptures. And so as much as you know the Word of God, that's how much you know Jesus. And there's no other way to know Him. We might have an imagination or an imaginatory type idea of who He might be and what a nice guy He is, but to know Him is from the Word. And the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, pictures this beautiful tapestry of Christ and the fullness of that. And so as you study and learn and grow in the Word, you grow in your knowledge and understanding and relationship with Jesus. And I want to quickly, and I don't know if these slides are coming up or what, but looking at Psalm 119, there is 176 verses about the Word of God and our response to it and our relationship with it. And I won't go through all that I've put down there even, but there is some things that we need to highlight. Notice this about Psalm 119, which is the psalm about the Word of God, the full, beautiful Word of God. And he says to love His ways. We can go with that. Love His law. We might say, what do you mean law? Wait a minute now. Love His law, not the law of Moses talking about how to sacrifice an animal, but the law of God, the truth of God's Word, what it speaks into our lives, its truth. Love His commandments, His precepts. And if you go through the Psalm 119, the whole thing, it gives this in great detail, repeated over and over. To love His precepts, His rules. Now, I heard somebody speaking not long ago about the Ten Commandments, and he made a point that I thought was interesting. He said, when the Hell's Angels, you know who they are, the motorcycle gang criminals, outlaws, when they have a meeting, their general meeting each year, which they do, they follow the Roberts Rules of Order. And I thought, well, that's interesting. They're outlaws and criminals, but when they meet, they still want some order to it. But anyway, His rules, and we don't like rules, but God's Word, He says, is His way, His law, His commandments, His precepts, His rules, His testimonies, and His statutes. Those are the words used in Psalm 119 about the Word. And then the focus of it is to obey it, to keep it, to love it, to seek it, to hunger for it. Those are the things that come up. And I'll just, there's too many, sorry, I just got a text from Ethiopia. There's too many things in Psalm 119 to go through, but just these are some of them. Flip it up there. Blameless, walk in the Lord. To be blameless and walk in the law of the Lord. And there's a list that's too small to read probably, but I just wanted to put it up there. I narrowed it down to this from 3 or 4 pages in Psalm 119 of these kinds of comments. I've chosen your precepts. I seek them with my whole heart. Fix my eyes on your commandments. Keep your statutes with my whole heart. Not wander from your path. Meditate on your precepts. Delight in your statutes. Open my eyes and put false ways far from me. Choose the way of faithfulness. Cling to your testimonies. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Long for your precepts. Long for them because they teach us, they instruct us, they guide us, they build our life on the foundation so beautifully. I rejoice at your word, and your testimonies are the joy of my heart. That's where joy comes from. Knowing his word, knowing his testimonies, knowing his law, knowing his instructions, and following them. But not just following them, loving them and embracing them and in standing for them in every circumstance of life. The joy is in that, not in some outward thing that happens, but in knowing Christ and in following his word. And the result of a life built on these principles that are laid out in the word of God, but are his precepts, his commands, his rules, instructions, testimonies, the result of loving those is that you will be blessed, steadfast, no shame, upright heart, keep his ways, not sin against him, bountiful, behold wonderful things, counseled by the word of God, answered when we call. And he goes on and on, my heart enlarged, courage in the night. I gain life through your precepts, through your commandments, through understanding your word. Having his favor makes us wiser, he said, than our enemies. It's a lamp to my feet. Avoid the snares of the wicked, and God will plead my case. I love that one. So I've had a lot of times when God did that, and it's such a blessing. And the Lord becomes my delight. And I focus on that to emphasize loving His Word, knowing His Word, embracing His Word, letting His Word speak to us, teach us, guide us, His rules for my life, loving them. Wake in the night and seek for them. And like, there's no way to express it beyond what Psalm 119 does. So those three things, as you obey, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will express it through keeping his commandments. But the blessing of that is, that's returns to us joy, the fullness of a walk with all those blessings that Psalm 119 lays out for those who will do that. Jesus also said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And 14:23 in John, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So we need to know his word, love his word, embrace his testimony. Like, that's the source of joy. And then he says in John 15:8, by this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So as we obey and keep obeying and love to obey and embrace, then we bear fruit. Our lives bear fruit. That's the tree that the fruit grows on. That's what we need. But it's a whole life of walking with God. It's a whole process of day after day walking with the living God in joy and fullness. And then he concludes in John, not concludes, but this point, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So here's where I'm getting to eventually. Doing the work of God is joyful, if we get it right. But I know from being around long enough and living for a while that sometimes it gets tiresome. And we become kind of bored with it, tired of it, frustrated with it, maybe. And that's where I think when Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says to us who have been walking with God for a long time, but this I have against you. And he's doing this to help us, not to hurt us. It's to bring us into the fullness of his joy. He said, I have this against you to the Laodicean church. You have abandoned the love you had at first. And I know I've thought of that for years and thought, okay, Jesus, I love you more than I ever loved you. Love, I love you, I love you. And then I read the rest of the verse. It says, remember where you have fallen and repent and do the work you did at first. Your first love, do the work you did at the first. Because doing the work out of love for Christ, as we did when we came into Christ, is where the joy comes from. Not just from doing it, and not just from worship times, and not just from singing a little louder. And I enjoyed that song this morning. Usually when somebody's singing it, I'm singing in my heart, sing a little softer. Not really. But it's not from singing. We'll sing out of the joy of the Lord. That's why we sing. Because we're walking with God, the fullness of walking with God, then out of that flows our singing and our worship. And I felt it this morning, a sense of happy joy, fullness that God is here and doing something, and we're looking for something special and good and in our walk with him. But he says it like this, if you don't, so it's, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at the first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the work you did at the first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. So first love, do the work, lampstand. First love, the love, love the word, which is to know and love Christ, and love the work, or find the joy in the work of God. Not just sitting around, but working for God. Now I know Val was teaching a course, and one of the students wrote in the paper, to talk about work is heresy. I said, okay, well, I guess Jesus was a heretic then. And Paul was a heretic, and the Bible is a heresy book then, because it talks a lot about it. But not from a drudgery perspective, the opposite of it. So if it's drudgery, and I know that happens, I've seen it, you might be saying, why am I the only one doing the work around here, and where is everybody else to help, and why do I always have to do this? And we can get tired down, and worn out, and so on. We don't want that to happen. We want to repent if that's happening. Repent. Not complain, repent. And change our attitude so that we can re-enter into that love we had at the first. Joy. I use this sometimes in marriage counseling, like the joy you had as a new couple, and then 25, 35, 40 years go by, and it can become less joy or more joy, depending whether you make it healthy or don't. And your relationship with Christ is healthy, then the work is joy. And out of the joy of the Lord flows the work of the Lord. And that is good. Work flows from joy, and from the joy flows the work. And we need to do that. So how do you return to your first love? In simple, Jesus gives us that clear way. If you love me, you'll obey me. If you obey me, you'll produce fruit. If you produce fruit, your joy will be full. So whatever you're doing for the kingdom, understand the fruit of it. Like we just were talking with our team in Addis Ababa recently, and we have a Bible study that goes out from the church in Addis to the world, really, and to Ethiopians all around the world. I could take a moment and preach to you about one of the greatest mission movements that's happening in the world, but I won't. But what we talked about with the team is it's a production that goes out, and it goes global, and it's sweet. There's one guy who is really the primary teacher, our close friend and blessed brother that we work closely with, and a few others, but mainly. But then there's all the people who do all of the work to make it all happen. And all of them are part of the joy, or receive the joy of seeing the fruit of it going all over, and there's a lot. The same is true in every context of the gospel work or the kingdom work. The work that you do, whatever it is, making sure there's paper in the machine over there. I mean, in the hand towel thing in the bathroom this morning, I had to sort that one out. That's working to keep the kingdom work going. And it takes all the different parts of the body of Christ to do that. But we need to see it. We need to have eyes to see it, that what we're doing is part of God's kingdom work that's bearing the fruit, that is touching lives and changing lives and accomplishing things. So we express our love by obedience and return to your first love, a love for obeying God, a love for His word, a love for His precepts, a love delighting in them. I don't know where you're at in your walk, but I wake up in the middle of the night often and just longing for His instruction, His teaching, His precepts, His voice to speak and to teach and to instruct. And if I need change, change. And if I need correction, correct. But open my mind to His way, His truth, His word, so that I can finish the race. And finish it well, and do the work He's given me to do. That is my first love. It's a close walk in harmony with God. Do you believe me? Good. Some do. No, you all do, I know, I can tell. That's where sometimes it might be good to have those big bright lights that some churches have in your face. Then you just imagine everybody's out there smiling. But here I can tell. And I don't like those bright lights, by the way. Obedience out of love for Jesus is the work that flows from joy. And I can tell you, and Val can bear witness, for 50 years, we have seen that. And it remains true today. It's more true, it's greater, it's more blessed. I wasn't going to say this, but I have to now. You drove me to it. Not really. But over the last week, here in Edmonton, yesterday, sitting at a thing at the Bible school barbecue thing, I got a text. But we've received like, I don't know, four or five different texts or messages from friends in Ethiopia, leaders of major act, anyway, just honoring us and blessing us and thanking us for what we've invested in their world and in their lives. And I'm like, what is this? Like, this is very cool. If I read them to you, you would bow down. No. I'm just saying that to say this. There's fruit, there's joy in the fruit. And it doesn't matter which part of the work you're doing. There's joy in it if we have eyes to see it. It's bearing fruit in lives and changed lives and in our city and in our community and in the children. And I watch these beautiful little ones dancing here and think, man, I'd love to do that, but I can't. And you're glad I can't. But it's a walk with God. Working for the Lord is a walk in harmony with God. It's not like working for our salvation. It's like we said, we start here. We're righteous. We're righteous. We're good. We're righteous. We're not earning righteousness, but we're living it. We have our whole life to live it and bear fruit. And I'm sorry for those who miss it. I always remember some old preacher saying that he preached on Sunday morning and 1.5 people got saved. And they said, what do you mean 1.5? He said, well, there was a man and his boy. He said, you can't call a boy half. He said, no, I'm calling the man half. Half his life is already gone. The boy has his whole life to serve God. And that's real. Like, we're not just saved to get into heaven. We have this amazing opportunity to walk out God's will and purpose and activity and do his work. And don't be afraid of the word work. Unless you think you're earning your salvation, then be afraid of it. But your gift, excuse me, your gift expressing your love for Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit's anointing, brings fruit. And that brings with it joy and joyfulness. And I'm telling you, it's true, and you know it already. Not drudgery. This past week, a friend of ours teaching in a program here in Canada that we're involved with, and he agreed to teach this course, and then just before it started, he broke a bone in his shoulder, and his bone was sticking out, not quite breaking the skin, but almost. And the beautiful Alberta Health Services told him, well, you know, just don't move it too much, and we'll try to get you an appointment within the next couple weeks. And it took 2 weeks. So he's laying on his bed with a broken bone and supposed to be teaching. So guess who got in the job and stepped in and taught for him, and I loved it. It was beautiful. The next week, when they did the surgery Sunday morning, he's supposed to teach Monday night at 3 hours. And I'm thinking, no, I'm going to have to do this again. And I like it, but he calls me, I think I can do that tonight. It's been set, and you know, I'm a little bit crazy for morphine, but I'm... I thought you might teach your best course that night. And he went and did it. And I'm like, I love that. I love that. What he taught was beautiful, I'm sure, and blessed. But I love the zeal. I love the heart for God. I love his work. It's good to do his work, whatever part it is. Not poor me. I have to do it. That's your first love. Walking in close harmony with God, doing his work. Amen. Thank you. Are you still wrestling with work? Work, that's heresy. It's not. Jesus said this, and I've quoted him many times. I remember when my mom and dad used to wonder, why are you still over there? Why are you doing this? And I would say to them, like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That was Jesus. Paul said at the conclusion of his life, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race, or some versions, I've finished the work he gave me to do. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown now of righteousness for those who love his appearing. The oil of joy. The Holy Spirit working through you, through your giftings, whether it's sweeping the floor, singing a song, preaching a message, or checking out the parking lot, or any combination of them. If we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it in harmony with God and his anointing is on it. I remember, like, we used to travel a lot to churches around Canada as mission speakers and so on. And we came to the point when we arrive at a new church and you're kind of coming in the door trying to find wherever the pastor might be hiding in the back room somewhere. The first person you often met was the janitor. And am I right, Val? They were the most friendly people. I started looking for the janitors and then talked to the leaders later. They were just friendly and happy and in so many cases. And it just made me think, this is God's work. And enjoy it. What part do you have in it? I don't know. But enjoy that part. And so the oil of joy, joy in the work. Do the work you did at the first. And I'm getting close to where I want to start now. But the good news is it'll finish fast, as I promised to Val. What is the difference when you read the parable that Jesus gave of the wise and the foolish virgins? 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. What was the difference? Oil. Not blood, oil. It didn't say they didn't have the blood of Christ applied to their lives. It said they didn't have extra oil. So what's the extra oil? The wise, it says, took flasks of oil. They had their lamps that were burning, and then they had a flask of oil with it. And the foolish did not have the extra oil. They had the lamp with whatever oil was in it, but didn't have extra. Now, I believe it's the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fullness of living our life for Christ. Not speaking in tongues, although that's part of it, but the fullness of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life, through what you do, talking to people, sharing with people, the work you do at work, the work you do in the church, the gifts God has given you, the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing through it. And that's the oil of joy, as far as I can see. It's the Holy Spirit teaching me his word and revealing it to me. It's the Holy Spirit revealing to me Christ. It's the Holy Spirit bringing to my memory the things I've learned about Christ. It's over the whole fullness of your life, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Extra oil, the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, the fullness of the character of the Holy Spirit developing in you. That is the oil at work, the Spirit of God working in my life, in your life. Wisdom, and I've said this so many times, but He's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and knowledge and fear of God, and that all working in your life, the oil, so that it's refreshed every day. When you go to the picture that this is talking about in the temple, they had to every day refresh the oil, trim the lamps, clean them, and bring new oil so that they never went out. That's the story. And the lamp pictures something beautiful. A life bearing fruit, a life with the gifts of the Spirit flowing regularly, constantly in our lives, dealing with the issues of life. You meet somebody at work, some situation you need wisdom for, God gives you a word of wisdom. The oil flowing in all that we do, and that's where joy flows from. It makes every part of the work of God full of joy if we're getting it right. The foolish had no extra oil. And it says their lamps went out. Well, you can give your theology to it. I'm not dealing with that now. But I see it as they were saved, but that's it. They didn't refresh. They didn't keep it fresh. It got stale and it got boring and it wasn't fresh every morning like it should be. No works. It's like 1 Corinthians 3 talks about. They're on the foundation but built nothing there. So, which are you? Who am I? A foolish one or a wise one? And I want to be the wise one. They took their lamps, they went out to meet him, and we know the story. Count the cost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible encourages us, so that we have that freshness of the Spirit every day. And I've talked with people, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Yes. How do you know I spoke in tongues 35 years ago at camp? Sorry, that doesn't cut it. What about this morning? Refreshed in the Holy Spirit. What about in the middle of the night, like Psalm 119 says, I wake and delight in your precepts. What about the fullness of the Spirit teaching you the Word of God and that Word applying to every circumstance of your life? How to be a good everything. In the temple, the lamp was to be constantly burning, and I'm finishing right now. There's a beautiful picture of the temple, and I share it many times, probably have here, but I'll repeat this little part of it. One of the things in the temple was the lampstand, and the Bible says in Revelation that the lampstand is the church. And this lampstand is a picture of the Holy Spirit flowing through the people of God, bringing the revelation of Christ to the world. The light of Christ shining out through us, the church, the people, us, you. The light of Christ shining out. And it was to be burning all the time. But there's a whole picture here in the temple. And we come through to get to the lamp, we come through the altar of sacrifice, the cross. The laver, picturing baptized into Christ, dying with him, buried with him, rising with him like they did through the Red Sea, buried with, and come out the other side into the work of the Holy Spirit, into a life walking with God. And that comes into the holy place where the lampstand is, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread, or the bread of his face, or the bread of his presence. I would encourage you to think that through carefully. The way through the cross, through the laver, the water, into the presence of God, to be a priest unto God, to be a servant of the living God, to know him, to do his work with the fullness of joy and the fullness of the Spirit, the lampstand shining his light, the prayer and communion with God in the altar of incense, the bread of his presence, where you, like Moses of old, would meet God face to face, and he speaks to you, and he talks to you, and he tells you about stuff. You need an answer to your situation. You need to figure out how to fix your marriage. You need to figure out how to fix your child's problem. Meet God in that beautiful place. But it's the lampstand I want to focus on just as I close this morning. Jesus said, do the work you did at the first. If not, I will come and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And what he's saying is not a harsh saying to us. He's saying, bring the life back into our service for God. Bring the life back into it by knowing his word, letting the Holy Spirit speak it to us, teach it to us, loving his word, loving his precepts, living for them. Like Jesus said, my food is to do that. And that's where joy comes from. Not from the answered prayer. We love answered prayer. The joy comes from doing the work with His anointing, walking with Him in the fullness of the Holy Spirit every day, all your life, until we die. And the Bible says, Jesus in one of the letters, be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. So faithful in doing God's work, His will, His purpose. I love it. And I pray that you will hear it, that the Holy Spirit will speak it to you. Not works to get saved, don't get confused. Not works that are heresy, but works that flow out of the joy of the Lord. Joy doing His work, doing His word, obeying Him. Amen. Return to your first love. And that's my prayer this morning. To the love you had at first and the work. Jesus said this. This is Jesus talking. Do the work you did at the first. And Jesus talking, saying, my food is to do the work that He's given me to do. That's my food. That's what sustains me. That's what fulfills me. That's what brings joy and life and purpose and reason. And it builds a healthy church and a healthy church ministry to the world. It is the lampstand. You are part of the lampstand. See, the Old Testament brought Jesus physically. The Jewish nation brought Jesus into the world physically, the physical Christ. The New Testament church is to bring the revelation of Christ to the world. And that's the picture of the lampstand. And you are the lampstand. Jesus said that. If we return to our first love or maintain that first love and do the work that He's given us to do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit over it, bringing the light of Christ, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And you know this, I'm just preaching to the choir here, but there's nothing more beautiful than seeing God use you in His work. Like, that's it. Nothing compares to that. And so, as we do it, His anointing flows through it, and it brings us joy. And I've said this before, but do you remember the last time you had a big steak? You couldn't care less, it just maybe from here. But do you remember the last person you touched their life and brought someone to Christ, or prayed and they were set free, or helped someone's life come into the fullness of Christ? Or you'll remember that, and you'll remember it for life, because that's where joy comes from. So if you're sweeping the back corner there this morning while the rest of us are drinking coffee and spilling it, don't complain. Have joy. It's part of the whole process of the kingdom of God being built. The joy of the Lord. It's as important as playing the piano or doing this or doing what Russell did this morning so well. It's all part of the big picture of God's work. And then from here, more importantly yet, you go out there. You are the lamp stand there. In not just talking about Jesus, but everything you do. Your life, your work, how you react to people. In every context, you bring the light of, you potentially bring the light. But if we don't keep it fresh, then He will remove the lampstand and you're just there. And that's a sad place to be. The work just gets boring and struggling, complaining. So let me pray for you. Return if you've moved away. And if you haven't, keep it fresh. Every morning, keep it fresh. Be refreshed in the Holy Spirit every morning, every day. And God's grace flows through you, His anointing flows through your gifts, and it bears great fruit. And that brings great joy. Father, thank you for this beautiful church, beautiful people. who love you, who walk with you, who want to complete your will for each of their lives. That's our desire. And so I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will continue to speak into each of our lives this truth, to keep it fresh, to walk with you fresh every day, to be filled with the Spirit every day. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I would close with one last thought, as I always do. It's Jesus or somebody in the Bible said, the husbandman is first partaker of the fruit. Meaning when a man plants a vineyard, the first one to eat its fruit is the one who's planted it. And that's true, speaking of sharing the word of God. Sharing it, but the first one to partake of it is the one giving it. And if it doesn't touch my life, I'm sure it won't touch your life. But it does. It's the word of the living God. And I take this to heart every day. God bless you.